Joining us now is Amy Maruyama, and she is the brand new president and CEO of the National Aviation Hall of Fame. Amy, welcome to Oshkosh.
Well, thank you for having me.
This is your first time here, right?
It is.
So far, what are your impressions?
Just sort of above and beyond what I could have expected. It's bigger, more exciting than anyone could have described.
Oh, good, good. With the National Aviation Hall of Fame, we'll talk about the background of that in a moment. But what is your background?
I actually spent my career in nonprofits. So okay. I worked with nonprofits to develop programs, strategy, and most importantly, getting the funding that they need to meet their missions and develop what they need to really get out there and do their good work.
Good. And how did you join up with the Hall of Fame?
Well, I actually started working with the Hall of Fame in 2019 okay. as a consultant, doing just that. We worked on developing a lot of programs and doing some fundraising to get them the resources that they needed to do their work.
Good. And let's go into it. How did the National Aviation Hall of Fame start, and where are you headed to in the future?
Yeah, well, it started in the early 60s with okay. just some powerful advocates who really believed that aviation needed an organization that honored those individuals who really contributed to making the industry what it is today. So we got our congressional charter, and we're the only congressionally chartered Aviation Hall of Fame in the country.
Okay.
And to date, we've had just over 250 inductees who've been enshrined.
And these are, I mean, if you look at your website and you look at the list of enshrinees, there are a lot of famous names on there. But there are also a lot of names that you need to do a little research on to find out who they are, and then you start realizing their contributions to aviation as well.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on really going and getting a broad spectrum and acknowledging the contributions, because it takes a wide team to make aviation what it is.
Yeah. Just list off some of your favorite folks in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, gosh. Well, of course, there's the Dale and Alan Klapmeyer at Cirrus. And then there, Amelia Earhart and her incredible feats. Bessie Coleman, who really broke barriers.
Right.
And then this year we are inducting Catherine Sullivan into the Hall of Fame. So she was the first American woman to walk in space.
Right.
An incredible achievement.
Yes. Who else is being enshrined this year?
Oh, this year we have pioneers. So we have Cornelius Kolfe and Velta Ben. And then along with Catherine, we have Apollo 13 astronaut Fred Hayes.
Okay.
And then we have innovators Angela Gittens and Ed Stimson are being enshrined this year.
Oh, very good. Very good. As you mentioned that, you have different categories within the hall. What are those, the three main ones?
Yeah. I mean, there's no limits really
okay.
in aviation, but we try to make sure that we get through the broadcast. So we really reach out into aerospace, but also looking into making sure that we're honoring those people who were the pioneers of aviation and getting their names in as well.
Good. You just recently were ascended to this post.
Yes.
Just a couple of months ago. What was your first day like in the big office?
You know, I have an incredible office because I look over our Heritage Hall and Education Center. And so, you know, you climb up there, and the thing that is most incredible is you just see the kids and the visitors. We get about 400,000 annual visitors into our space, and watching them interact with the exhibits, you know, cheering when Hoot Gibson is yep. on our film. That is, I think, you know, that's the thing that made me take the role, and it's why I'm inspired every day.
Where physically is the hall located?
We're in Dayton, Ohio,
right.
the birthplace of aviation, and we're co-located with the National Museum of the U.S. Air Force.
Okay.
So great partners to us.
So you can just leave your office and go look at some airplanes?
Yes, and watch them fly out my yes. office window.
Good. How many people are on the staff?
We have four staff members right now, and we're working to grow that number. Ideally, we'd have about eight,
okay.
I think.
And an advisory board or board of directors as well?
Yes, a very hardworking yes. board of directors at the Hall of Fame.
Some of the names that we might recognize?
Well, our chair is Jim Cooling. Mm-hmm. And then we also have, we just brought on Dave Paddock and Matt Jesch. And let's see, we have Michael Cuello of Avelo Airlines. So we have about 30 board members.
Okay. And all active, supporting the mission.
Yes, incredibly active. We need them. It's a small organization, right. And that board works hard.
What are some of your plans for the future? Or are there some things that are in progress now that you're going to help finish off, or looking long term?
I think the most inspiring thing that we have going is our educational program. So we started just 2 years ago on Discovering Flight with the National Aviation Hall of Fame, and we partnered with PBS, the most trusted name in early childhood education, to create a pre-K through 6 curriculum so that kids are inspired early to take on their aviation journey. And by the end of this year, we'll have reached almost 180,000 students.
Wow.
So it's going great.
Okay. And that's in school systems around the country, or you're still looking to expand?
We're mostly in Ohio, but we're looking to expand. And so we've got partners. Actually, Cirrus Aircraft has been a tremendous partner to us and gotten us out into the Minnesota area and Gulfstream down in the south. So we've been lucky to have some good early support for it.
Good. If someone's listening and they are in, I don't know, Wisconsin,
or
Florida or Texas, whatever, and they want to see if they can bring this program to their area, how can they do that?
Yeah, they go to our website, nationalaviation.org, and we have a sign up there. We have details about the program, but also a sign up for educators who are interested in bringing it into their classroom.
Good. What other plans are you hoping
to? Well, to do? I mean, ideally, we expand it across the nation. We're excited to really get this. Kids lose their interest in STEM and difficult disciplines before, you know, sixth grade. And so we want to get them early and start building that pipeline from its very beginning.
As a nonprofit, obviously, you rely on donations, as probably corporate donations. Are there some corporate sponsors or large donors that you'd like to recognize as well?
Yeah, sure. I mean, of course, I mentioned Cirrus and Gulfstream, but we also get support from Embraer, Boeing. We have our enshrinement ceremony in D.C. Coming up, and so we've got some incredible sponsorship from Boeing, from NBAA, Gamma. So we're fortunate to have a great circle of support.
Excellent. You mentioned the enshrinement ceremony. When is that?
It is September 22nd at the National Building Museum. And I encourage you and all your listeners to join us. It'll be an incredible event.
And if you need want to get tickets or more information on the event, that's on the website as well?
Yeah, it's on that website, nationalaviation.org.
Good. You're going through your duties while working here, what are some of the things that you'll still be doing before you head back?
Oh, well, right now I'm just meeting as many people as I can, trying to learn the industry, but meeting with some of our supporters and trying to encourage new ones.
So. Good. Are you, do you have an aviation background at all, or pilot or not?
I'm not a pilot yet. I'm told it's and I can already feel that coming on, so yeah.
This is the place that'll inspire that for you. And if you're looking for a flight instructor, I'm sure there's several out
just
here.
A few.
Yes, well, the enshrinement ceremony, that is that a black tie affair?
It is.
Yeah, kind of fancy.
Yes, we get fancy. We call it the Oscars of aviation.
Okay. About how many people attend?
Just about 600.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's right in the...
Right in the center of D.C. this year. We move locations across the nation now. So every year you'll find us in a different city.
Good. If someone would like to, first of all, look through the list of enshrinees, but if you want to nominate someone or start a campaign to nominate someone, how does that happen?
Yeah. Well, the first thing you have to do is become a member of the Hall of Fame, which is really easy to do also on our website. And then it's a really easy one-page nomination process. The details are all there. But we, once you're nominated, you are a nominee forever. And we acknowledge you, and you are considered each year for enshrinement.
Okay. About how many people apply or have someone apply for them each year compared to the limited number that actually are enshrined?
Yeah. Well, so we consider about 550 people who've been nominated for induction. And we select, this year is a pretty big class. We have 6, but usually it's 4 to 6.
Okay. And how is that selection process made? I mean, that's a lot of information for someone to go through.
Yeah, it is. It's very detail oriented. And we divide people at first into groups. And then after those small groups go through their stack, then we tally those numbers. And then there's 2 more rounds of voting.
Wow. And is that all done By staff, volunteers, the board,
no.
or a combination of everything?
Yeah, no, it's a, it's actually part of our congressional charter. So it's a, an independent voting board that is comprised of hundreds of people throughout the industry who okay. are anonymous and vote anonymously for their favorite candidates.
Okay, so it truly is a under wraps sort of process.
It really is.
So there's no way of you know, stacking the deck for one person or another.
No. Yeah. We try. We keep it, because we're honoring them. So
right.
we want to make sure we keep it honorable.
Good. And you mentioned the congressional charter, but you don't receive any money from the government to operate?
We don't, although we did just receive a large federal grant to support our education program. So.
Good. But it's not something that's ongoing. So you
no.
are truly...
Yes.
Relying on donors and members to help,
yes,
help keep things
going. Yes, that's
how
we keep the lights on and keep our activities going is through the support of donors and corporate organizations.
Great. Any final thoughts before we wrap up today?
No, just thank you so much for having me. And I encourage everyone to support the Hall of Fame and aviation organizations like us that are really together. We can build and ignite this industry.
Sounds good. Amy, and what's the website address again?
It's nationalaviation.org.
All right. Thank you for being here today, and enjoy the rest of your time here at AirVenture, your first time out. Won't be the last, though, will it?
No, it will not.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
And that's going to put a wrap on this morning's show. Tomorrow, we're going to welcome back author and WASP supporter Erin Miller, and she is also a newly minted private pilot, and she flew in to AirVenture. So I'm sure we'll catch up with her, and she's got some good stories. We'll meet David Kinese, a National Aeronautics Award winner, visit with Jordan Drischler, who flies with the Commemorative Air Force in their WASP T-6, nicknamed Nella, and visit with Ron Kaplan from the Ohio Air and Space Hall of Fame and Museum. So keep up with EAA Radio this week and all year long by visiting our website, eaaradio.net. This is From the Stand. I'm Steve Buss, and this is EAA Radio.